All the time. Dion is on a roll this morning, eh? We must just see what the Nachmal vein looks like there, what he's been actively involved in. But it's good to have you here visiting with us this morning. I trust that you're going to have an encounter with the living God. Please greet somebody around you, friendly, with the love of Jesus. Say, what's up? Something like that. Say, what's up? What's up? What's up? Thank you. For the folks that behind the scenes, just make sure that everything works. Thank you very, very much. The folks have really, really worked hard this week. Two memorial services over here and everything like that. Also the arrangements for the fellowship and the bra afterwards. So those folks that just said thank you. Thank you very much. Just give yourselves a round of applause, please. We love and appreciate every single one of you. Just some practical arrangement. In the past, we have put these little chain holder poles outside to block these two parking lots, because of a reflection that comes through. But the guys that do that, you don't have to do that anymore. We've got plan B now. If there's reflection coming in, we can just draw the curtains at the back. So there's just an extra two parking spaces available. That's what I wanted to mention. And then just to confirm a reminder, next week, Saturday, the Men of Worth is going to be time of ministry. But also, Dion, I just wanted to confirm, would you be able to get the scaffolding for us? Excellent. Great. There's going to be scaffolding. Gerard's also going to get some scaffolding for us. We're going to get to new heights in this church, and we're going to clean the what needs to be cleaned over there. Once that's done, we're going to get professionals in. They're going to come close it for us, so the birds are going to have new homes. Hallelujah! We've got a new spiritual home. They're going to have a new home. It's time. So thank you. All right, let's get stuck straight into our new sermon series. What have we been speaking about? What did we speak about last week? Okay, Stiano, what did you get from last week? What's the thing that stuck out for you the most? Speak to me. The what? Mick Jagger. Comes from dust. What else? We looked at the characteristics of stones, isn't it? Okay, so last week, just to recap, we spoke about the different elements of a stone. We see that it's hard, it can hurt, and it's thrown away, and it comes from the ground. And our God has an answer for all of this now. He's in the process of wanting to make our hearts of stone into soft, receptive ones. This week, we're going to speak up about what it means to be built up as a spiritual house. Our theme scripture is 1 Peter 2 and verse 5. You yourselves, like living stones, that's us, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the privilege that we have, Lord, of being able to look at your word like this. Holy Spirit, we ask that you just move way beyond the limitations of my speech and that you'd minister your life to each and every single one of us where we are at, to the praise and glory of your name. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. So we look at the fact that that verse says that we are being built up. That means there's a process involved. God is up to something. Something should be happening in our lives. Dis nie net laat ons kerk toe kom, luister na 'n boodskap, gaan weer huis toe, gaan slaap, staan weer op, werk toe en so aan, en daai aan oneindige siklus oor en oor en oor. God is a master builder. He's permanently creating and he's always up to something, and it's always up to something good. So we are being, it's continuous, being built up into a spiritual house. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. So all of us who have had that veil removed, speaking about the veil in our hearts, so we cannot see the message of the gospel, can see, everybody say see, and reflect, say reflect. We're going to look at those words, the glory of the Lord. So we've had this veil removed. We can see and we can reflect the glory of the Lord, who is the Spirit, who makes us more and more like Him as we are changed into His glorious image. Some translations say we've been changed from glory to glory. So being built up, that's the process of being built up. Wie van julle het geweet, jy het nie net jou hart vir die Here gegee sodat jy net bekeer kan wees en jy gaan hemel toe. It's not just about that. You've got something to give. What do you have to give? Speak to me. What do you have to give? Your story. Your story. Your story is unique. Your born again experience is unique to you. Nobody has a story just like you. Nobody. Some people think that a radical testimony is when I served the devil and I was a Satan worshiper and I boiled cats and I sacrificed babies and I drank blood and I had bats for pets and you think, ooh, you know, you're this like heavy breaker and then you came to know the Lord. And others are like, you know, grown up in church my whole life, but I never had a relationship with Jesus. And then I met Jesus one day and you think, oh, well, that's like a minor testimony. No. You have a story to tell. Your story is unique. Somebody out there can relate to your story, just your story. So we're being built up to give and reflect. We're being built up, and God is busy with that process. So to see and to reflect means that we not only hear or listen to the word, but we go and live out what we learn. Folks, that's when Christianity becomes real. When it becomes real is when we actually go and live out what we learn. It's so easy in an atmosphere like this, an environment like this, to be all, you know, comfortable with each other and we love each other. It's good. And you like feel the presence of the Lord. Sometimes you don't feel anything. In fact, most of the time you don't feel anything. But we as believers believe that God is good regardless of what we see or feel. We believe that God is moving regardless of what we see or feel, because he's very much alive. So to see and reflect means that we not only listen and hear, but that we go and do something about it. We reflect Jesus in us to a desperate, dying world, hungry for authentic love. The world has various ideas of what love is, but there's authentic love. The Bible teaches us that a man has no greater love is there than that a man should lay down his life for his friends. And our responsibility as Christians is that when we leave this place, when we've been challenged, when we've been encouraged, when we've been changed, when we've been chastised, that we go out and show that same love to a dying, desperate world that's looking for the real thing. They're looking for the real thing. And that's Jesus. That's a relationship with Jesus. Not a system of rules and regulations, but a relationship with Jesus. So the reflection is that we see and reflect. That's what we do. We see and reflect and show the world this Jesus in us. So to see, to be able to see, there must be an expectancy in our hearts. My prayer is, and I encourage you, I hope and pray that when you come to church, that when you read your Bible, that when you have your quiet time with God, that there's an expectancy inside you that something is going to happen. It's not just routine and habit. And folks, it does require discipline. How many of you know that? It does require discipline. For example, in the winter times, when that spirit of duvet attacks you, when normally you would get up and spend quiet time with the Lord, or it's like summertime, and the living is easy, summertime. And you just don't want to get involved in all sorts of fellowship and stuff like that. And then you just want to relax. And there's this good thing on TV and that good thing. Folks, I've been guilty of that. I remember when we first, I'm going to confess, there was a time when I was stealing. I was riding on somebody else's Netflix password. I didn't know that was wrong. And I don't know, here's a password. You said, oh, great, yay, Netflix, woo. And I got stuck on the series. Oh, my soul. I binged watched till like sometimes at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, yella. Come on, man. I don't know. If that's okay with you, to me, that's like wrong on so many levels, you know. So sometimes you're in that place where you can do all these other things instead of having this discipline to have an expectancy that God is going to do something in your life. So when you read your Bible, when you have your quiet time, when you do your devotions, when you come to church, I pray that you have an expectancy. Being seen is that, okay, I'm going to come here and I say, Lord, speak to me today. I'm not going here to impress anybody. I don't care whether Mozzie or anyone else sees me or not. I'm coming here for you. I want to hear from you, God. That's why I am here today. I hope and I pray that that is how you are like. Because guess what I can do for you? Nada, zilch, diddly squat, zero. Niks nie. I can do nothing for you, but I can pray for you. So seeing means coming with an expectancy. Come with an expectancy to receive. That's how we come to church. And God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I learned something this week. Usain Bolt. How many of you know who Usain Bolt is? Used to. I think his record still stands. It's been beaten. Still stands. He said this. He trained for 4 years to run 9 seconds. And some people give up when they don't see results after 2 months. 4 years to run 9 seconds. Folks, when it comes to your spirituality, Mozzie, I've been praying to the Lord for this for like 3 weeks and nothing's happened. Oh, shame. You know, sometimes I submit to you that God wants us to see the sincerity of our hearts. Ah, well, you know, this Christianity thing doesn't really work for me anyway. Folks, God is looking for desperate seekers, not casual inquirers. I often say that, but it's so profound and so true. So to see means there must be an expectancy. God, I want to hear, I want to listen, and then I want to go and I want to do. Okay. To reflect means that I must be a doer of the word. And all of this seeing and reflecting and doing is part and parcel of the process of being built up. Do you remember what it was like when you first gave your life to the Lord? You just wanted to tell people, or maybe you were still shy and withdrawn and introvert. I don't know. But there was a time when it was like there was this newness and freshness to it. Remember that? Folks, it should be like that. And I know it's not like that all the time. Because even in love, when like a boy meets girl, and it's like there's a chemical imbalance in your body that messes you up. Scientifically proven, there's a chemical imbalance. That's why you feel the way you do. You warm for her form, and she can't do anything wrong, and he's just Prince Charming her. And then life happens. And then it's like, you know, what is this thing laying next to me in the bed? What did I do, Lord? Come on. This thing about you fall in love, it's a Hollywood hogwash. You make a conscious decision on a daily basis to love in spite of. That's what you do. It's real like that. Okay, so that's part and parcel of this being built up to this place. We make a daily decision, a choice. I'm committing to this. It doesn't make sense now, Lord. I can't see the end result, but I know it's coming. I saw this meme this week where two ground-based ball type water pumps, manual pumps, are next to each other. It's like done like a cartoon. And the one person's pump is like a certain depth into the ground, and they pump chink, 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 and you see the water going up and it comes out of the spout into the bucket. And the other person's one is deeper. And they're pumping and pumping and pumping, and the one person's water starts flowing quickly, and the other person sees what happens, and they're pumping and pumping and nothing's happening, and the other person's gone away with the water already, and they just quit. But what had happened? Unbeknown to the person, below the ground, beneath the surface, that water is going up and up and up and up and further up the pipe because it's further to travel. And just as it was about to get to the spout to come out, the person quit. They leave it, and you see the water go all the way back down. And guess what? They change pumps. They go to the pump thinking, okay, this is going to work for me. And they pump and they pump and they pump. But the person's got the water out. And the irony of it is the one that was left had much, much, much more water. And folks, where are you in your walk with God building you up? Maybe you experienced the beginning where your prayer got answered, then was a breakthrough. Now there's like a lean period where my gebede gaan nêrens heen nie. Hier gebeur net mooi niks. Daar's nie verandering nie. Ek hoor die Here raak daai ene aan en hy of sy kry hulle wonderwerk en ek sit hierso en daar gebeur niks in my lewe. Miskien is jy op daai plek julle. Don't give up. Don't give up. So you see, in terms of eternity, how long have you been trying? How long have you been working at something? In terms of eternity, okay. So to reflect means that we show Jesus. I must be a doer of the word. James 1, verse 23 to 25. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. But imagine that. You forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, what's that mirror, folks? What's that mirror? What is the mirror? It's the word. Say, okay, this is who I am. I know who I am. I look at myself. Okay, do I look like the man or the woman that God describes here? No, okay, there's things that I need to change. If you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for hearing it. God will bless you for listening to it. God will bless you for knowing it. God will bless you for understanding it. No, God will bless you for doing it. He'll bless you for doing it. Are you ready for a little bit of a challenge this morning? Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Thank you. You can imagine, so we can move on. Can you imagine what this place would look like if everyone brought one? Just one person to church. If each one brings one. Imagine what this place would look like. Now, folks, I don't want to put a heavy on anybody. But I don't know how long you've been born again. And I don't know how long you've been walking with the Lord. But have you ever led somebody to the Lord? Have you ever had the privilege of leading somebody in a sinner's prayer where the conversation gets to the point where they say, I'm probably going to go to hell. Say, okay, I'm going to pray with you. Have you ever had that privilege? Don't raise your hand. If not, please, 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 we want to help you do that. It is easy as the saying, Jesus, Yara Am, use me. You don't have to know chapter and verse and D and die. You can just share your story and say, what's stopping you from giving your life to Jesus? And you might think, oh, well, Mozzie, that's easy for you because you're a big mouth with a microphone and you get that job, you get that opportunity to do it. It's your job and you get paid to it. Well, guess what? I was like this before I started pastoring a church. When I slid detective, or after I got born again, that's just what happened. It's like people desperately, desperately, desperately need chocolate. Some of you are thinking, yeah, that's me. I'm there. People desperately, desperately need chocolate. I mean, they just have to have chocolate. Doesn't matter what happens. They got to have chocolate. And then you, for the first time, taste chocolate. It's like, yuckle, stucker. Engel het op my tong gepiepie. Is wel lekker. You taste it and it's great. And you guess what? You know where the chocolate is. And you know that people need chocolate. And there's so much chocolate that you don't know what to do with it. Are you going to keep it for yourself? You're going to say, folks, come here. Come here. I've got, come. You've got to take. What's this? No, no. This taste. No, I don't want to. I don't want to. Stop it. Stop it. I like it. Oh, yes. Give me more. That's what it's like. That's what it's like. And when you understand Jesus like that, when you understand Jesus like that, you cannot help but want to tell people. Imagine how radically different this place would be if each one brought one. I don't know how many months, weeks, years you know the Lord, but folks, if you've not led somebody to the Lord, if you've not led somebody to the Lord, I want to submit to you that there's a whole aspect of Christianity that's waiting for you to delve into and experience. That's incredible. That's incredible. Now, I have led several people to the Lord, and a lot of them are worse off than before I spoke to them. Why? Because I led them to the Lord. But when God uses you, and the Spirit of God comes upon you, and it's that moment, it's that person's time, today they're still serving the Lord, and they are now disciples. So I want to encourage you. And if you're not sure how to do it, man, get your blessed assurance in a care group. And the care group leader and people there will practically demonstrate how to lead somebody to the Lord. There's various gospel presentations that you can use to make a difference, that we can be doers of the word, Yella. Is this stirring something in your heart this morning? God is speaking to you and you know You've not yet led somebody to the Lord. Man, let's fix that. Okay. Then it says, making us more and being changed into His image involves real change, which can only come about through true repentance. So let's get a little bit teachy this morning. The Scripture speaks about confession, and the Scripture speaks about repentance. Confession is that. You confess something, you speak it. Confession says, I acknowledge that what I'm doing is sin. It's not just, it's lekker, man. This is how we jaw. This is how we roll. No, confession is saying, okay, I realize that this is sin. Repentance is choosing to turn away from that. Repentance is choosing to do it God's way instead of sticking to your old ways. So you confess with your mouth and you repent by turning away and changing the way you do things. Okay. So there's confession and there's repentance. So making us more like Jesus and being changed into His image involves real change. And real change can only come about when there's real, true repentance and confession in our lives. So I wonder, my brother, my sister, what do you need to repent of this morning? I needed to repent of several things this week. My thought life, my actions, what I did do, what I didn't do. And repent and say, God, no, it's not right like this. It's got to change. And then do something about it. And little bit by little bit, as you allow, God makes you more and more like His Son, Jesus. We must be willing to let go of the old so that God can bring in the new. For something to come into your life, something has to go out of your life. It has to be this divine exchange. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. If you do what you've always done, you're going to get what you've always got. But if you do what you've never done, you're going to get what you've never had. It is as simple as that. I already got the notes for the second part, being a spiritualist, but I believe we've gotten enough this morning. In fact, I've been speaking for 22 minutes already, so let's start to wrap this up. To recap, we looked about how God wants to build us up, and build us up involves us seeing and reflecting and making us more and more and changed into His image. To see, we said that there needs to be an expectancy in your heart. Come to church expecting. Read the Word, expecting, God, you're going to speak to me. And then reflecting means that we don't only hear, but we go and we do and we tell and we share our story, that we've got something to share with somebody, and that God blesses our obedience when we act upon what He teaches us this morning. So, as the deep end comes up, I'd like us to do that Revelation song again. What I love about songs like this is that it's actual worship. It's not just we're singing about positional truth, but we're actually praising the name of God, bringing glory to Him. It's such a beautiful song. As we get ready to do that, I want to ask you this morning, where are you, my brother, my sister, in terms of God building you up, moving you from where you are at to where He is, so that you become more and more like Jesus? Is there things that you know, Lord, I need to repent of things this morning. I need to let things go. Well, you're in the right place this morning. That's why we come to church, for God to change us, to challenge us, to encourage us. And if you know you're at a place in your life where something needs to change, I want you this morning, be mindful of that which needs to change. And let the Lord change it. I'm going to pray for us this morning, and right there where you're seated, you can just do business with the Lord and say, Lord, I need this to change. So if it helps you focus on God, you can close your eyes and bow your heads or whatever. Just focus on the Lord this morning as we just spend some time in prayer. God, I thank You that You want me to change because You love me, not because I'm not good enough. You love me, but You know there's more. You know there's better. I thank You for giving me this opportunity, Lord God, to just quieten my heart. And just enjoy Your presence this morning with Your people. And Holy Spirit, if You've shown me this thing or these things in my life that I need to repent of, I'm going to confess now. And I confess and I say that I know that it's wrong. That it's sin and that it grieves your heart. This morning I choose, Lord, to repent of that. I turn away. And Lord, if I'm honest with myself, I really don't know what to do. And I'm probably not strong enough to stick to this commitment. And therefore I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Come upon me, empower me, and enable me in a way that I've never been able to do before, Lord God, to stand strong and to stick to this commitment. I choose today to walk away from the second, third, fourth best in my life and embrace your best for my life where I'm at. Lord, I want to be the best me that you can make me. I want to be a better version of myself than I have ever been, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father. I thank you for this, Lord. I thank you for this, Lord. Thank you for your grace and thank you for forgiving me. And as we continue to pray, I want to pray for you this morning. If you've never had the privilege of leading somebody to the Lord, because maybe you just don't think it's important enough, or you don't think that you're good enough, or you're completely afraid, and the adrenaline and the fear just comes upon you, and you just feel you cannot do it, and your tongue gets twisted, and you don't have the words, and all those things. I want to tell you, sir, ma'am, that is a lie from the devil. God will use you if you just make yourself available to him. I want to pray for each person this morning. If you've never had that privilege and you want to do it, please don't do it because I'm telling you. But if you just want to be somebody that reflects and just shares Jesus, I want you to pray this morning. Say, God, you've called me and you'll anoint me, Holy Spirit, that when I make myself available to you, you will use anyone and everyone that makes themselves available. And Lord, I ask that you give me the privilege to be sensitive and recognize when you're giving me a chance to share Jesus. And I can just tell my story in such a way that it encourages somebody to give their life to you. Lord, I want to be used in this way, Lord God. I want to have the privilege not just so that I can tick this box and say, oh, well, I've done that. But I really see the importance. Like that silly little illustration with the chocolate. Jesus, you are so much more worth sharing with people, Lord God, than simple things that taste good like chocolate. And I want to share you, Lord Jesus. I want to share what you have done in my life. I want to share you with others. So I'm asking God for an opportunity to share you. And then, Holy Spirit, come upon me to give me the right words at the right time, whether it makes sense to me or not. It's you who changes people anyway, Lord. It's not me. Give me the boldness, the courage, and the love for the lost to share Jesus with others. And I thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Would you stand with us as we worship the Lord one more time? And get ready for some fun and fellowship and ministry to each other afterwards as we enjoy meal together and laughter and the sunshine and each other's company. And then we'll pray God's blessing over us. Thank you to the deep end. Thank you, guys.